In honor of the 100th anniversary of Leonard Bernstein's birth, Candide is playing at Washington National Opera at the Kennedy Center through May 26th. It is my great pleasure to have in the studio today the woman playing the old lady in that production, who looks less like an old lady than anyone else I've ever seen, and that would be the fabulous Ms. Denise Graves. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is the second production of Candide that you've been in a very short while. You did the same role in Palm Beach recently.
I did. Completely different production, completely different music, completely different dialogue, completely different characters. We have more characters in our production here with WNO, and we don't have all of the music that we just did with West Palm Beach. So it's been a wonderful discovery.
Candide went through several different revisions, didn't it?
Exactly.
And so this is why they're so different.
That's exactly right. And some pieces, some were added years later. For example, We Are Women, which we don't do here. We did in West Palm Beach. That was 12 years later that Michael Bernstein added that in. So there are several numbers like that that just got added to the work, which it's considered to be called the work. It's not considered not an opera, not an operetta, but the work.
So in addition to the normal things that you have to deal with, like let's say you do a Carmen in Berlin and you do another one in New York, and one's traditional and one's contemporary, you have all the differences in the music with this production.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That's exactly right.
And your daughter was in the chorus, your daughter Ella in Palm Beach. That is so amazing. Does she want to be like
mentioning
mom?
That. We will see. She's on her own unique path. She was just accepted to the Walnut Hill Performing Arts Prep School in Natick, Massachusetts. So she starts that in the fall. In the summer, she's doing their programs, their summer program. So we shall see. I'm trying to keep hands off. When she had our audition for Walnut Hill, they asked, would you like your parents in the room? And she said, absolutely not. So they escorted me out of the building. So who knows? We shall see. But she has a lovely voice.
The old woman really suffers in Candide, including losing a buttock. Can I say that on the classical radio station? I think I just did. So I'm assuming that you're just having a great time with this role. The lyrics to I Am So Easily Assimilated, they're so over the top, so wonderful. Is it just a blast?
We're having such a wonderful time. It really is so much fun. Even though it's fun, I will say this, however, it's still always work. And I certainly don't ever lose myself in the hilarity and the mania of the work itself. You're still always reminded that you're doing a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that particularly when I come here to Washington, you know, to this theater and to this house, this area where I've grown up in, you know, and grown up and lived and was nurtured and fell in love with music by coming to the Kennedy Center as, you know, a 12-year-old, coming to the final dress rehearsals of the operas and being a super in the opera and all of those wonderful things that was responsible for the path that I'm currently on.
You went to the Duke Ellington School for the Performing Arts in Washington.
I did.
And you had one teacher who was especially helpful and influential early on. Who was that?
Well, I bristle at saying one teacher because there have been so many.
Okay.
But I suspect you're talking about Judith Grove, this woman. And she's still with us, thank God.
Good.
So hi, Miss Grove. She's still with us. She was my kindergarten music teacher. And as I've told the story many times, I was an incredibly shy child and very, very uncomfortable around people and always attached to my mother. And I remember still very clearly the very first day of kindergarten and how I cried and cried and cried. And I didn't stop until they started playing music. And this woman, Judith Grove, sang. And I just thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. And she sort of took me under her wing and became very nurturing. And I loved going to school because I loved going to music class and being with her and learning music. And then as I got older, you know, she'd give me maybe a couple measures to sing. And I felt like I found my purpose, that this is what I'm, one of the reasons that I'm put here on the earth to do this. It was an incredible love affair, I would say, that I had with music. And then when I graduated elementary school to go to junior high school, unbeknownst to both of us, she became the music teacher at the same junior high school. I was walking down the hall and I ran into her and said, oh my goodness, what are you doing here? And it was a brand new school. And then she got me involved in All City Chorus. And so she used to come and pick me up Saturday mornings from my apartment and take me to rehearsals and stay with me all day. I mean, these incredible women, so many like her too, but she was really exceptional, would stay with me all day during the rehearsal and bring me back home. And then when it was time to leave junior high school to go to high school, I ran into her in the hallway and she said, well, have you decided where you're going to go for high school? I said, no. She said, you know, you have such a pretty voice and you love singing. Why not look at the Duke Ellington School? So she got the application. We filled it out together. I applied and did the audition and she became the vice principal of the school. So she was really, this woman was and is my guardian angel from the time that I was in kindergarten through the time that I graduated high school. She sort of ushered me on this path and kept me focused and centered and kept bringing me back to this incredible, you know, love and discovery, which was music.
You've been on faculty at Peabody for several years now. What do you see as far as the future of opera? There are so many articles that one reads online or in print, and a number of them are so negative, frankly, about classical music in general and opera in particular. But what do you see happening?
I'm aware of the argument that, you know, it sort of belongs in a museum and this is music that is no longer relevant. And I am encouraged, and I'm ever optimistic, but I'm encouraged when I go to the theater, and I do enjoy going to the theater myself, and seeing, you know, so many different types of diverse people in the theater and young people as well. Some years ago, I had a show on XM Radio called Voce di Donna, The Voice of the Woman. And when I would go around on my engagements, basically what I would do is just chat with my colleagues to find out their experiences, you know, and sort of in the dressing room and or speaking with a designer or the wig and makeup people or lighting designer, whatever. And the thread that was common through everybody's story, no matter the discipline, is that I was 11 years old, I was 12 years old, I was 13 years old, I went to the opera, I went to the ballet, my parents used to listen to the Met Texaco broadcasts, you know, that sort of thing. It was always around that age where they went to the theater of some sort, and that moment of being there impressed itself greatly. And that was the moment, the deciding moment where they said, this is what I want to do with my life. That was everyone's story. And so this sort of speaks to education in schools and the importance of that and the importance of exposure to all. You know, we get a steady diet all the time of everything else, mm-hmm. right? We hear
yes,
it everywhere. And sometimes with my children's schools, I've gone in to do master classes and informances to show them how classical music has sort of been a part of all of our lives, that they don't realize that they hear it in commercials or that they hear it in cartoons or on video games and that sort of thing. And so I think that with what a lot of companies, opera companies are doing in terms of educational outreach and spreading the word and introducing opera and classical music to younger people, we find every time, and when I did it myself as a young person, the young people ate it up. They loved it all the time. When I was doing my apprenticeship with Houston Grand Opera, they used to send us out and we would go to community centers and old folks' homes and, you know, elementary schools and junior high schools, which is a very tough crowd. And the kids loved it. They loved it. They would create their own operas or sing with us. And so it's a question, I think, of exposure. You know, of people just hearing it and feeling you know, that it isn't something that is foreign or it isn't something that you need, you know, a degree in musicology to understand. It's about humanity. It's about life. It's about what every, you know, human being experiences on the planet Earth, all of the emotions and all of the experiences that each one of us has. And when they see that, we recognize that we are more alike than unlike, you know. And one of the things that's so powerful, I think, about the theater is it's, as far as I can see, the one art form that is inclusive. You know, I took my daughter last year to see Misty Copeland dance at the American Ballet Theater, and everybody was represented on the stage, and everybody was represented in the audience. And it's the one thing that does not set up this dynamic of an us and them, mm-hmm. but that Everybody can appreciate it. Everybody can laugh at it. Everybody can cry at that. Everybody. And I just thought, I really love, and it is a privilege to be able to do what it is we do, because I find that it is the, you know, one sort of art form, one form of, you know, entertainment that really joins people together. It's not like, you know, any sports where, you know, you're either for this team or that team or, God forbid, politics or anything of that nature, but really that we're all human beings and we can celebrate that, and you can sit next to anybody and appreciate the same thing. So it's a gift to us all. I think it's going to save us all. I think it's going to save the earth. You know, I think it's so, so important that the arts are so, so vital to our survival as human beings.
So what's next for you after Candide?
Oh my goodness. So after Candide, I do a series of concerts around. Also, I do a very interesting project in Orlando, Florida called Gospel Goes Classical, where I have a wonderful, wonderful, and I have to give a shout out to John Conahan in Philadelphia, who's this wonderful arranger and composer, where we've taken some familiar gospel tunes and woven it into a classical style and vice versa. But then I returned to the Metropolitan Opera in the fall in a new production of Nicole Mulney's Marnie. I don't know if you remember the Alfred Hitchcock film.
Oh, yes.
Right, with Tippi Hedren and a very young Sean Connery. That will have its debut at the Metropolitan Opera in the fall. I'm singing not the old lady, but I'm singing the part of her mother. So I've sort of gone from these incredible, you know, seductresses to the mothers and then to the grandmothers.
You know? I've played mothers and grandmothers myself.
It's
yes.
It's the mezzo soprano. Yes. It's the mezzo soprano voice type, right? But I'm thrilled and delighted to be a part of it and looking forward to that. So I returned to the Metropolitan Opera in the fall, and then I've got the next few seasons there in that magnificent house. And so looking forward to that.
Candide is playing at the Kennedy Center in Washington through May 26th. Tickets are available at 202-467-4600 or 1-800-444-1324. Tickets and information are available online at kennedy-center.org. I've been speaking today with mezzo-soprano Denise Graves, who is playing the role of the old lady in Leonard Bernstein's Candide at Washington Opera at the Kennedy Center. Thank you so much, Ms. Graves, for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
For WBJC, I'm Diana Neal.